Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues here on AFR, American Family Radio. I am Tim Wildman, and good morning to you. And Walker Wildman is with us today to co-host the program. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Yesterday, we had technical difficulties.
We did, and I was just going to say that our Facebook page is up and running. So that's okay. Good news for the day.
All right. Thanks for so go to Today's Issues Facebook.
That's right.
And you can watch the show there live.
Yeah, that's right.
Comment on the program, and you're going to be posting all the stories we talk about.
Yes, sir.
People may be wondering, Tim, why do you say that every day? And I say that every day because we have new listeners that come along, and people hear what we talk about on this program, and they go, where can I get that information you're talking about and read it myself? That's why we do. That's why you keep these stories that we discuss posted at one place, which is on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Does that answer the question, you think?
That answers the question.
Okay. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us today, as he is most Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. How's the weather in Dallas
today? Oh, man. This is bike riding, golfing.
Right.
Yes, this is stay outside weather. I mean, it's clear and sunny, and I think maybe we're going to hit 80 degrees today. So just perfect fall here in Texas.
But the humidity, summer humidity's gone?
Yeah, pretty much. We had a little bit, you know, I think by about the end of September, that humidity is pretty much gone. So, I mean, this is football weather, Tim.
I hear you. Well, they're having the big game in Dallas this weekend,
man.
Aren't they?
Oh, man, Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma has won more than they've lost lately, but Texas got a pretty good team this year, so we'll see. The town is going to be jumping.
River rivalry.
That's right.
The Red River is what separates Oklahoma from Texas, true?
That's exactly right. You know, they take that stadium, and one half of it is burnt orange, and the other half is Sooner Red. You've been there to that game. You've seen it.
Well, not to that game, but I have been to the Cotton Bowl. The old historic Cotton Bowl?
Yes.
They're in Dallas. They don't play in the Cowboys Stadium. AT&T Stadium, which is where the Cowboys play, Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. They play in the old. That place was old 20 years ago.
It was old a long time ago. Of course, the State Fair of Texas is going on. So, you know, you get yourself a corny dog, you ride the Ferris wheel, and then you go to the game. It's a spectacle.
Yeah. That's coming up this weekend. Fred Jackson is gone away somewhere. We don't know
where. Canadian sabbatical.
So Chris Woodward is with us. Chris has been filling in when Fred's away. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Well, Fred, you privy to where Fred went off to?
I am not.
Doesn't he go off to these salon and spa trips?
Well, what's funny is sometimes something will break, and we'll go to, you know, I sit near his office in the newsroom, and I'll go to tell him something, and he's not there. And I think he's a shapeshifter or something. He vanishes.
Right. Are you saying, Tim, that Fred took a spa day?
Well, I'm just that's what
just,
I, that's a rumor
we're
around here.
Wondering.
I'm not going to spread any rumors.
No, oh, right.
No, I'm just saying that's what I heard.
Sources say he went to Tim Hawk. What is the Canadian donut place?
Oh,
there?
Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons.
Yeah. I started to say Tim Hawkins. Completely different person.
Right.
All right. We don't know where Fred is, but God bless him.
Right.
Wherever he is today. All right. Tell us what's happening, Chris.
Well, we're watching weather. You know, we began talking about weather in Dallas. Certainly, we're enjoying some un-Mississippi-like weather here in Mississippi. But out in California, they continue to deal with wildfires out there in the northern part of the state, what's known as wine country in some circles. They've got another round of gusty winds forecast today for parts of North California, which is dealing with the wildfires. So far, guys, at least 23 people have killed and more than 3,500 structures have been destroyed in the wildfires that began late Sunday. I actually have some audio here from Fox's Will Carr reporting from one of the hard-hit areas.
The neighborhood we're in looks like a wasteland here as we go street by street, property by property. It looks like a bomb went off. It's pretty common to see metal melted down that has come off of cars that look like they went through Armageddon. At least 23 people have died in these fires, and that number is expected to potentially go up because hundreds of people are still missing.
And once again, 3,500 homes and buildings have been burned down across Northern California. So we're going to be talking about this and hearing about this for several days to come.
Have you seen these pictures, Ray?
Oh, man. You know, I have been to Santa Rosa, which is where kind of the heart of where the fire is. Our middle son was on a church staff out there. And so, I mean, know that area pretty well. And Tim, it does look exactly like what the reporter said, like the bomb has dropped and all humanity is gone. It's an apocalyptic scene. I mean, and those fires, I mean, they came through, what, 40, 50, 60 mile an hour winds. How do you even begin to stop that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, traditional, I'm going to plead ignorance here. I do not know how to firefight. Okay. I've only know what I've seen on TV documentaries, and I've never even been to a forest fire or a wildfire. Mm-hmm. So just want to let you know that. If you can't pick up on that already, but what Ray, what you're talking about is the way they do normally contain fires. Don't they build or burn around the fire?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or burn, I believe so.
Burn right. Towards the fire, for example.
Right, and then put up fire breaks and,
right.
And clean out the brush and stuff. The problem is, what do you do when the winds
right.
are going 45, 50 miles an
you
hour?
You can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think you can. That, because we're talking about fires that then jump.
Right.
Yeah. That's the problem with the traditional way of fighting fires. I guess you can dump water from above.
Oftentimes they do that.
But there's only so much you can do of that. Go
even
ahead.
The minor experience I've had just, you know, burning leaves or something in the backyard or on land, I've done it once where it easily just catches, when it's really dry in the summer,
right.
It just catches grass here and there. And before you know it, you're running around. Stomping it out. Imagine that on a large scale, miles and miles.
With 70 mile an hour winds.
Right.
70 mile an hour winds. Is that what you said, Ray?
Yeah, it can get. It can get.
Those winds?
Yeah, 45, 50 really common, but it can get up to 65 to 70 miles an hour.
Well,
so, you know, that's hurricane strength.
Yeah, right 70 there. Miles an hour is hurricane one
right.
strength. Or what you know?
Category one.
Category one hurricane.
Right. So you see that fire coming that fast up the hill and down the other side. How do you stop that?
Wow. What I would like to know, Chris, I don't know if the stories I'm seeing where you have 23 dead, mm-hmm. which is tragic, but then they say 300 to 500 people missing. I don't understand. Are these people that are dead and have died? How do 300 and 500 go missing?
I think it's a combination of the structures that were destroyed or damaged, the people that were known to maybe own those or frequent those properties, as well as maybe those that left and people were not aware of it and they can't get in touch with them, maybe because some infrastructure issues or things of that sort. So it's probably a combination of a number of things, but certainly not good news.
I would be shocked if it does not raise. What do you think about that, Ray?
You know, a lot of those are going to be found, we hope, we pray, but also certainly there's going to be further fatalities and injuries because this fire is not really under control yet. There, as Chris said, these winds are still blowing, and this is going to get worse until the winds finally die down. So it's a very frightening thing to think of. Well, you know, people are out and about, right? I mean, you're out shopping or whatever you're doing. You're at work, and then the fire comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking. They were saying the LA Times were saying the winds were 50 to 70 miles an hour. So that is so fast, you don't have time to get home and evacuate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, they were saying, too, that the vineyards may have prevented things from being worse.
I've seen that in one report, yes. The unfortunate thing, we're going to see this, and we see this oftentimes with California wildfires, hurricanes, things of that sort. You will have people politicizing this situation as a means of combating climate change.
Are you serious?
Wait for it. If it's not already out there,
Trump's
it will be by the end
Bush's?
Of the week. Maybe both.
Bush? Okay.
Maybe both. Here's the shame, though. California's polluting a lot of the air with these fires. They need to get this under control. Talk about, you know, polluting the air.
Yeah.
Walker.
The fires out there.
Yeah, Walker's.
I put in a call to
Walker's
Governor Brown.
A little cynical there.
Well, they apparently right. everything has yeah. to do with climate change because.
Oh, I see what you're putting.
It was, first, it's the oceans are going to recede or right, raise.
Well, they're going to melt and,
the ocean
take over the land.
Right. The water's going to rise.
Is another concern.
Right.
And then the apparently hurricanes
right.
have to do with.
What you're saying is these the global warming crowd, as I call them, mm-hmm. they climate change.
Right.
They blame everything.
Right.
More often than not, a natural disaster, they do not let it go without being blamed. The reason I bring that up and people politicizing it, the House today actually is set to vote on a $36.5 billion disaster aid package to help states and U.S. territories hit hard by hurricanes and wildfires. This includes money for the disaster relief fund there at FEMA and $576.5 million to help fund wildfire recovery efforts in western states. Montana is a state that's been kind of overlooked here the last few months, weeks or months. Montana's been dealing with a lot of wildfires out there as well. But certainly this is going to be more money trying to go towards people affected by Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Puerto Rico, guys. We haven't even talked about that. It's been 3 weeks since Hurricane Maria slammed into Puerto Rico. And CNN says the recovery is going painfully slow. 45 people are dead. At least 113 people are missing. And people still arguing over whether or not President Trump and his team have done enough to help
What's
the people
enough?
There. I think they probably want some more money. They want more supplies, things of that sort. I mean, Puerto Rico is in a terrible situation and probably will be for months, if not years. They're without fuel. Hospitals are still facing problems. Banks are closed. And Puerto Rico was in a world of hurt even before all this started because they've had a lot of fiscal problems, bankruptcies.
Yeah, they've been
sort.
Facing bankruptcy.
So we'll see a lot of that for months. For
Has
sure.
Congress approved any relief bill for Puerto Rico yet?
I'm not sure offhand. That may be what today's disaster relief vote may kind of involve.
I know
this
they've
would
done
be right
Harvey.
After Maria.
I know they've done Houston relief or Texas relief, but I just wasn't sure if they've done Florida and Puerto Rico relief.
Don't know. Don't know about that, but how much money are you talking about?
Well, we're looking at $36 billion in disaster aid, but certainly that'll go up because Puerto Rico has problems still. They will still have problems, and certainly
well,
with the wildfires.
What, the interesting thing, Ray, that President Trump said when he was visiting Puerto Rico, and by the way, you're talking about an island of 3 to 4 million people. Basically, they've been wiped out. Mm-hmm. All right.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. Their infrastructure's destroyed. Electricity's off most of the island. Houses are laying flat or they're almost irreparable. And we're talking by the thousands and thousands. I'm talking about. So it's you're an island out there by your. That's an island. You're out there by
right.
yourself. You're not even anywhere close to the U.S. mainland. Mm-hmm. So but the reason I bring that up is the logistical issues involving getting power back on and things of that nature. You've got to, if it's all going to come from the U.S., pretty much, you got to fly everything and everybody over there. I don't even know how you begin building a new electrical grid.
It doesn't help that they were in such financial trouble before. Right. Their infrastructure was horrible. And
well, President Trump said wipe it out.
Start over new?
No, wipe out the debt.
Oh, right.
Now, his Treasury guy came out a day or two later and said that isn't what he meant.
Yeah, I think that was a question in at least one of the debates between President Trump and a lot of the other candidates for the GOP presidential nomination.
What was?
Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico
and its debt situation. Because some people have been in favor of them becoming a state. Not just people in Puerto Rico, but over here, but certainly.
Well, they're very socialistic. That's
right.
The reason they're in the hole they're in. But I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. President Trump doesn't have that authority.
Right.
And I'm not sure he claimed it. He just said, remember that? He said, whoever they owe the money to, Goldman Sachs or whoever, said they're going to have to forget ever getting that.
And a lot of folks are forgetting that before President Trump assumed office, when President Obama was still in the White House, he signed up a bill that sent millions to Puerto Rico for financial relief, mm-hmm. for bailout money. So they've gotten their fair share of federal tax dollars, our tax dollars.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go to our Today's Issues Facebook page. I'm Tim with Walker. And also joining us in studio is Chris Woodward. He's filling in for Fred Jackson. And Ray Pritchard is in Dallas. And we're talking about what's going on in the news. Next up.
Well, big NFL matchup tonight between the Carolina Panthers and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's not necessarily the story. It's whether or not the NFL players will heed Commissioner Goodell's call to stop anthem protests. This would be the first game since NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell issued a memo saying, quote, everyone should stand for the national anthem. Certainly President Trump has been talking about this. He was actually on Fox's Hannity. This is clip two, Brent. The president tells Fox's Hannity the league, the NFL, could have prevented a lot of headaches by suspending quarterback Colin Kaepernick for kneeling during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner a few years ago.
Frankly, the NFL should have suspended him for one game, and he would have never done it again. They could have then suspended him for two games, and they could have suspended him if he did it a third time for the season, and you would never have had a problem.
Goodell and team owners will meet in New York City next week for their annual fall meeting where the protest will apparently be discussed. The NFLPA, or the Players Association, the union, some of their officials will be there meeting with team owners as well.
Quote for me again. I did read this yesterday. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL. The NFL is getting really worried.
They really are.
They were worried.
Fine with it a couple of weeks ago because they never said anything. Now, they may dispute that, but obviously they were fine with it because nobody said anything. And then now he has since issued a memo, Commissioner Goodell, saying, quote, everyone should stand for the national anthem. I'm sure it has absolutely nothing to do with the NBA commissioner saying we're going to stand
for
the national
anthem. But is that an edict, really? That just sounds like, to me, a recommendation.
Well, you know, some people are wondering whether or not Jerry Jones and others, the Dolphins owner, you know, whether or not they might actually follow through and penalize or suspend or fine players for doing this kind of thing.
Well, you haven't seen the Cowboys or the Dolphins kneel.
The Dolphins, some Dolphins have.
Yeah. Have they?
Some Dolphins have, and that's what started it. Some of them in London a couple of weeks ago against the Saints.
Okay, well.
The Dolphins have
their
made
owner
more news
said
for
last week.
Player protest.
Their
winning.
Owner said last week they're going to be standing up for the national anthem. So I want to see the next time the Miami Dolphins play if they're going to have players kneeling. Again, they're getting worried. The NFL is getting worried. The owners.
Right.
The commissioner, obviously, because you're talking about a $13 billion industry.
Right.
Is that right?
And there were some
right.
calls for the NFL to be for people to quit letting them be a tax-exempt organization. But in 2015, they did give up that tax-exempt status. So I'm not sure how exactly that would work as far as penalizing the NFL.
Right.
Well, number one, this is a complete, total victory for the president. From what, you know, he made all those statements and people, boy, the press got all over him. ESPN got all over him. All the commentators. I mean, the intelligentsia, the media, everybody on the left was on President Trump's case. And now we're 3 weeks later. And even CNN said people underestimated the president's persuasive power. This is a complete victory for the president. And I was thinking to myself, I suppose if you're a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers, you know, maybe if you're a superstar, you could kneel now and get away with it. But you know, if I was an NFL player and maybe not a starter, the last thing in the world I would do would be to kneel down because it's good. You just make it too easy for somebody like Jerry Jones to say, "Hey, we don't need you anymore."
I would argue that your kneeling is ineffectual.
Yes.
Okay. I would argue that your kneeling. Is not having. First of all, people don't even know why you're kneeling anymore.
Yeah,
Colin Kaepernick.
Reasons are all over.
Colin
the
Kaepernick, whether you agreed with him or not, and I certainly did not, he made it clear why he was taking a knee. America is an unjust country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now that's a broad. I said he made it clear. I think he was protesting police officers. Mm-hmm. and dealing with black folks.
Yeah, he
black
was
males.
Concerned that there was a larger number of white officers or just police officers in general shooting black
people. So racial injustice and police brutality, and basically our country is a bad country. That's what Colin Kaepernick was protesting. Right. I could go back and read it, but
right.
That's why all this started. Of course, as I said then, if you're going to take a knee for that, then you're going to take a knee for forever.
Right. You're never going to stand up.
You're never going to stand up. So that's what that went over and to other players.
Right.
And that, again, I think the president's right on this. Had the NFL fined him or suspended him day one, said you can't do that in our league. You can't take a knee during the national anthem. We don't care what color skin you are. If you want to protest something, if you want to complain about something, if you want to have a cause on your own time and on your own dime, knock yourself out. It's America.
Right, and I think that's part of the reason why you don't see Kaepernick on a team. There are other quarterbacks that might have better numbers and stats at the moment, but he is a talented, athletic individual. But obviously, owners and GMs don't even want the headache
can you
of
blame
having him on
right.
the team.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think it proves Trump's
can you blame
point.
Him? No. I don't blame him.
No, not at all. I mean, if you sign Colin Kaepernick, the media circus, the hype,
right?
It's going to take – I mean, the only reason that you hire a player is because you think you can win games and win the championship. Yeah. He's going to be distraction from day one. So I think whatever career, whatever future he had in the NFL, which may not have been that
right.
much, I think he basically destroyed it.
I mean, he went from playing in Super Bowls to, you know, not even on a roster.
Yeah.
Tim, do you think we'll ever see him in the NFL?
No, again? I don't. No. I don't. He's an average to below average quarterback. He benefited. He's quite an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He can run.
Right. He was under the Harbaugh.
He can run like a deer. But he was the benefactor of a San Francisco 49ers defense that was the best in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And when you have the best defense in the NFL, then your offense is on the field a lot. Mm-hmm. Your offense is on the field a lot, and inevitably they're going to score,
yeah.
and you're going to look good. So it's a team sport, 22 players required. I'm just saying he was not an all-pro quarterback. He was an average – he probably would have made some team's roster had he not been involved in this controversy.
Yeah. The two most recent ones that he probably had the best chance of being on would have been the Miami Dolphins before they signed Jay Cutler.
Right.
And Baltimore kind of hem-hawed, and that's why it was Miami's decision.
Well, the bottom line is the NFL is getting their comeuppance. Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it?
I think so. I still like the run like a deer metaphor you
well,
used there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He could.
He could, but I'm saying the NFL is, people would say, getting what they deserve by allowing this to go on. They're suffering financially in their image, and I tell you what they're really worried about. They're really worried about how it's going to impact them in 2018. Because that's who I think the economic impact is really going to hit the NFL more than it is even right now. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to take our break right now. Is Jan Markell going to be on with us?
She is. I left Tree Ministries.
Did she coach in the NFL?
Jan? Good question.
We'll have to ask
good
her
question.
That.
You'd give a good speech in the locker
room. Ray, do you know if she...
Coach Markell, I don't know.
Okay, well, she lives in Minnesota.
We'll let her answer that.
That's right.
Maybe she coached for the Vikings. Yeah. I don't remember. Hey, women can coach in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because, look, they're letting girls in the Boy Scouts.
Girls in the Boy Scouts, right.
You see
I
that?
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. Yeah.
I don't know. Right. We'll talk about that next half hour, the Boy Scouts letting the girls in.
Oh, brother.
But that's about all in comment I have. Right there, what you just said, Ray. Oh, brother, I don't know what
oh,
else
brother.
You can say about this. Boy Scouts of America has gone down the tubes. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese?
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio.
your partnership makes a difference.
My name is Mike. A year ago, after trying to take my own life, when I got out of the hospital, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I asked the Lord to help me find a gospel station I could listen to help me. And I found AFR, and I've been listening to it every day. The preaching, the teaching, the music has blessed me so much, has given me strength through this past year to help me overcome all of my problems I had in my life. And I just love and appreciate y'all so much. Y'all have really blessed me.
Ensure that we impact even more lives. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 17th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Common sense has gone with the wind in my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee. The famed Orpheum Theater has announced it will no longer show screenings of Gone with the Wind. The Orpheum Theater says the film is insensitive to a large segment of the local population. Memphis is about 64% black. It's bad enough that Memphis leaders wanted to dig up the dead body of a Confederate general, Nathan Bedford Forrest, but now they want to ban Scarlet and Rhett and Aunt Pity Pat. This cultural cleansing of my hometown has gone too far. Now, the Orpheum says they just want to be more inclusive. Well, I say, frankly, my dear, fiddle-dee-dee. Sadly, I predicted that would only be a matter of time before the culture jihadists targeted Tara. But there's no use crying in our sweet tea, Southerners. We must stand up to the scourge of the liberal carpetbaggers, as God is my witness. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker. And Chris Woodward is in studio with us as our newsman. Chris is filling in for Fred Jackson, who's away at a spa somewhere. We don't know where.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out what he's doing, what Fred's doing, why he isn't here.
If you're listening, Fred, I enjoy my job.
You know what's going to be funny if Fred says, well, I was actually just out mowing my yard in my house.
Well, I don't think Fred would take a day off to mow his yard. I really don't. I think he'd do it at night if he had to.
He'd have Chad do it.
Taking a day off.
Spa day sounds much more like it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so much more to discuss this half hour. Chris will move us more into the news of the day. We do encourage you to pray for the people in California. Mm-hmm. These wildfires are out of control. And there's no end in sight that I've heard. Ray, you haven't heard any. As long as these winds keep up,
right,
they're going to keep spreading, right?
That's exactly right. Until the winds die down, they're not going to get those blazes under control. It's really not possible. They can contain it a little bit, but
yeah,
only a little.
And then, of course, you have the smoke that travels hundreds of miles. I never will forget last year reading about the wildfires that burned down Gatlinburg. Remember that?
Right.
Not all of Gatlinburg, but a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I was reading a story on that, and it was interviewing some people in Michigan who were saying, you know, the Gulf Stream, or the whatever you call that up there, the winds had taken the smoke all the way, and they were smelling the fires from Tennessee all the way in Michigan. And so, but the thick smoke all over San Francisco.
Yeah, similar situation happened to me in Birmingham years ago. I was working for a television station, and there was a fire in Florida or Georgia at the time, massive fire. But you could smell the smoke in Birmingham so much that the police and fire scanners were just blowing up with people calling saying, "I smell smoke," and it was from another state.
You would think fires are going on near you,
right,
because of the smoke. Well, this is terrible, tragic, and as Ray said earlier, looking at these pictures from these, I mean, you're talking about whole communities just burnt to the ground,
right?
Absolutely burnt to the ground. Nothing to salvage. All right, and hundreds of people are missing. That's what the report is. That's what the reports are saying. Well, joining us now from the great state of Minnesota is Jan Markell. Jan is with Olive Tree Ministries, and she joins us most Thursdays that she can. And she joins us now from her office there. Jan, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. And can I just say it was a wonderful meeting of so many American Family Radio listeners last Saturday at my annual conference. We had hundreds from AFR land.
Really?
That's great. Yeah.
That is great to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that is wonderful. That's great to know. So how did the conference go? What was the conference about? What was your theme this year, and how did it go?
It went very well. Our venue holds 4,300, and we had 6,200. So there were some problems, but we call it Understanding the Times. It's our 21st conference of this nature, and we had Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Amir Sarfati from Israel. And your listeners know who all of these folks are because they're featured on air with me on a regular basis. And we just help folks understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. All sorts of different topics. Some were eschatology, looking at signs of the times. Dr. Mark Hitchcock addressed the overwhelming apostasy in some of our churches today, and Michelle Bachman was her usual cutting edge self. Anyway, we just had lots of issues, lots of people, a lot of blessings. And again, I just met so many who just came up to me from the various southern states, heavily Texas, a lot of AFR people from Texas, and it was a blessing. We had other stations and networks represented, but I was just particularly blessed by all of those who came from AFR land.
Well, that's wonderful. Jan Markell, we're talking to Jan Markell. Her program airs on American Family Radio on Saturday and Sunday. Understanding the Times is the name of the program, and Jan, what do you think? There's a story in the news. By the way, give your website, and then I'll tell people what we're going to talk about here.
I'll start over again. OliveTreeViews.org, views as in viewpoint, OliveTreeViews.org.
Okay, the story out of the New York Times, October the 12th, says U.S. will withdraw from UNESCO, citing its anti-Israel bias. You know what this is about?
I glanced at the story, and I mean there are some overall issues with UNESCO, and I mean that's kind of an understatement. I think even Barack Obama might have withheld some funds from UNESCO. It's the United Nations organization.
Okay.
And for various reasons, I mean it's got some inherent corruption in it, which is nothing new. Mm-hmm. I think a greater probably issue is the fact, again, that President Donald Trump is such a friend of Israel that he's kind of always looking for opportunities to be a friend of Israel, and he's not a friend of the United Nations. I promise you he's not a friend of any UN agency, and particularly not UNESCO. It might be helpful if you, and I don't have it in front of me, if we gave what the UNESCO stands for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, UNESCO stands for the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, known for its designation, I'm reading from the New York Times, the designation of World Heritage Sites. He is a global development agency with missions that include promoting sex education, literacy, clean water, and equality for women. This is under the umbrella of the UN, which, you know, as President Trump is not a fan of.
Right.
And nor are they a fan of his.
Exactly.
So,
and that's part of the problem. He's not a fan of the UN, and he is a fan of Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. So you put the two together, and I'm not surprised this happened.
Well, again, the Trump administration announced on Thursday, this is last Thursday, that it would withdraw from UNESCO. That's pretty big news. Did you see this, Ray?
You know, it's a big, big step, because we have given, I mean, how many billions of dollars to the United Nations?
And free parking for all their people there in New York.
Yes. And let's face it, they've gotten away with not only being anti-U.S., but anti-Israel for decades. Nobody until President Trump has had the courage to do what he did. And I'm glad he's calling them out, because, of course, they're anti-Israel. They've been that way for years. So,
and we pay for it.
And we pay for it.
And just to help folks understand what this organization does, this is under the United Nations. And this is from the New York Times also. It says, in July, UNESCO, the organization we're talking about, declared the ancient and hotly contested core of Hebron, I'm reading directly from the New York Times, in the Israeli occupied West Bank as a Palestinian World Heritage Site. In danger, a decision sharply criticized by Israel and its allies, and in 2015, UNESCO adopted a resolution that criticized Israel for mishandling heritage sites in Jerusalem and condemned, quote, Israeli aggressions and illegal measures against freedom of worship. So this organization has been a part of criticizing Israel for years now.
Well, the UN, they have a policy where the public relations department has to condemn Israel at least once a day.
That's right.
And so they have sort of a fill in the blank. We condemn Israel for, and it's passed around each morning by UN members, and then they release it, and then everybody sort of fills in their own reason. I'm being facetious, folks, here, but that's not too far from the truth.
Well, you talk about how one of the things they supposedly do as part of their mission is women's equality and things of that sort. Obviously, they've been taking a blind eye to Saudi Arabia for their entire existence.
That's right.
Well, President Trump is as mad as blank, and he's not going to take it anymore. So he pulled the U.S. out of that thing. And he's told – didn't he also say didn't he also challenge the UN when he spoke, Jan, to them, a few weeks ago, how much money do you people get from us?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you gentlemen might want to tap into Michelle Bachmann. She just announced at my conference last Saturday that she has a new assignment, which I've known about here for a month or so. She is now a representative from Jim Garlow's Skyline Church to bring the gospel to the United Nations, and she began that. She announced it last Saturday. I knew about it a while ago, but she announced it publicly last Saturday. She's trying to bring some righteous, and it's very funny and it's very ironic, because this is a woman who has spent her entire adult life hating the UN with a passion, and now she's been called to bring the gospel to the United Nations. She has a website, which I can get to you folks later, but you might want to tap into her, because she's got some great insights, and she's got some great opportunities there.
Can you give Walker her contact information off the air? We'd like to have Representative Bachmann on our program.
Yeah, well, I'll do that later this morning.
Okay. Hey, Jan, what do you got coming up this weekend on your program?
I'm going to play one of the messages from last Saturday. Mm-hmm. Amir Sarfati is a very gifted Bible and prophecy teacher. He's from Israel. We'll play his message, Where is America in Bible Prophecy? And I think all of your listeners will have some kind of an interest in it, because it affects every listener. So we'll do that Saturday. I believe it's 1 Central on Saturday and noon Central on Sunday.
1 o'clock Saturday and 12 o'clock Sunday. Central time here on American Family Radio. You can listen to Jan's program called Understanding the Times. Thank you, Jan. Take care.
Yep. You bye. Bye now.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell joining us from great state of Minnesota. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker and Ray. Go ahead, Chris. What's next?
Well, we're talking about some developing news now. President Trump has followed through on a promise, something he's been talking about for several days now, if not weeks, an executive order that he thinks will help with some of the premium and deductible problems with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, however you wanted to describe it. According to the executive order, basically, administration officials say one of the main ideas is to ease the way for groups and associations to sponsor coverage that can be marketed across the land. Other elements of the White House proposal include easing current restrictions on short-term policies that last less than a year, an option for people making a transition maybe from college to retirees. It would also allow employers to set aside pre-tax dollars so workers can use the money to buy an individual health policy. Long
That's
story
executive
short.
Order?
It's an executive order.
Can
long
you do
short
that?
Story. He can, because a lot of the stuff written in the Affordable Care Act allows for the administration to make these kinds of actions. The argument you're going to have is from the left saying the president can't do this, even though Obama changed Obamacare 50 bajillion times.
Yeah.
And but long story short, it's going to, in theory, create competition. And because of that competition, you might see some more competitive priced plans. And because they don't have to offer everything under the sun, it will not be so expensive, he thinks. So we'll see this. The question of whether or not it might help with premiums for 2018, we'll see.
He just signed it. I'm watching it live right now on TV.
Yep.
From the
Rand Paul's there.
From the Oval Office.
This has been one of the ideas
about
from
the
Senator
Oval Office,
Paul
from
for
the
a
White
long
House.
Time. Right.
Ray, President Trump signing executive order. Isn't this this is probably in response to the Congress not doing anything to repeal and replace.
Well, he took a page out of Obama's playbook, right?
Right.
And all he's doing is opening the market. He's opening it so it's easier for people to make these associations. You know, you get together. Instead of having to buy private insurance, group of people get together. And he's also doing it so you can an association can operate across state lines. Is this repeal and replace? No. I mean, that's we still wait for that, right? Mm-hmm. But it is a huge step toward developing free market healthcare system. So good for the president for doing
well,
this.
Well, I won't bog our listeners down with questions of constitutionality here or what the powers of the president are compared to the congressional powers, legislative powers. I would say this. President Obama busted down the walls between of what a president can do to amend legislation,
right.
I should say, without the authority of a Congress. Mm-hmm. The way our system is set up, and this has been changed by President Obama, and so if you're going to criticize President Trump today for his executive order saying, you know, he's dealing with a legislative matter that should go through Congress, well, then you need to go talk to Barack Obama, who's done this for the last few years. Remember that I got a pen and a phone?
Mm-hmm.
And so, as Chris mentioned, President Obama made changes to the law unilaterally over the years and other things that President Obama did because he got frustrated with the Republicans blocking him on some things. I can understand that frustration. But we have our Constitution calls for the legislative branch to amend the law, pass laws. The president can veto, or he can sign, and he has administrative authority over the executive branch. So, what President Trump has done today is amend the Obamacare law, and without the approval of the Congress. But the Democrats really don't have any thing they can say because that's what Obama did over and over and over again. So anyway, Ray, any comments on?
Well, you're pointing out, Tim, there is a danger here, right?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
There's a danger no matter whether you're talking Republican or Democrat. We want the legislature to make the laws. Mm-hmm. We want the executive to enforce the laws. We want the judiciary to figure out what's constitutional and what's not. But I guess the question is, and Chris, this goes back to what you said, that the way Obamacare was written originally gave whoever was president a lot of latitude to do stuff like this. So, I mean, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be fair to say, Chris, he's doing what the law said he could do?
It's mm-hmm. my understanding that is the case. And the thing is with executive orders, every executive order you get kind of sets a precedent for another administration at some point down the road to right. do this or that. I mean, President X 10 years from now
right.
might do an executive order that reverses whatever he's just done here. So yeah. we'll definitely see a political debate about these going forward.
Yeah, this is the result of 8 to 10 years of
right.
really, it goes way beyond that. You're talking about 20 or 30 years of Congress really not doing anything when it comes to significant issues in the country that are still outstanding, have not been decided on. Congress doesn't do anything. They sit up there, twiddle yeah. their thumbs, debate things, campaign on things, and they don't do anything
yeah.
as far as significance. They pass budgets and they do resolutions and put up statues in cities. And
they pass budgets?
They pass, well.
CRs.
Yeah, they pass
they temporary. Don't pass budgets.
Temporary right. spending bills. Yeah. And right. So anyways, but this, I'm really disappointed. We shouldn't be at this point. President Trump shouldn't have to pull out his pen other than to sign legislation when it comes to health care. I'm sure his attorneys have vetted this. I'm sure it's constitutional. Right. But at the end of the day, this goes back to Congress. They should have done something. They've promised they would do something, and now President Trump's having to act on his own.
It still puzzles me why they did not have something, at least a framework, an unofficial, unpublished plan, ready to go on day one. Like, the inauguration is done, right. he's in office, everybody's in Congress, boom, here we go. And instead, we're almost at Halloween, and we don't even know.
About the Republicans right. in the Congress? Well, I think what happened is it's easy to vote against something or vote. It's easy to vote for repeal and replace when you don't really have to do it.
Yeah.
right.
So that's what the Republicans did for 7 years. They just said, hey, repeal and replace, vote for me. That's what we're going to do. Knowing that it couldn't be done because President Obama would veto it. Well, when President Trump got in, mm-hmm. The realization that it could be done was there. And I think the criticism is fair of the Republican leaders that they weren't prepared with right. anything of substance to put forward that they could get through the Congress. And so they didn't. And so it made them look foolish, right. quite frankly. But I will say this again, when we're criticizing, quote, the Republicans, okay, and I do my fair share of that here, too, when I think it's just. You got to remember that 90% of the Republicans, 90 to 95% of the Republicans, at least on Obamacare, were ready mm-hmm. to pass at least that skinny.
Right. The 2015 bill that yes, Obama vetoed.
But it was only because of three of their colleagues that it got blocked because they only got a 52-48 margin, mm-hmm. Republicans in the Senate. So it doesn't take but three Republicans siding with the Democrats to kill something. And so that's what happened there. Remember John McCain? Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm saying is, so I don't think it's necessarily mm-hmm. fair to blame the whole Republican Party for the votes of three of their members. That's what I'm saying right. here. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, Hollywood's got a mess on their hands. This fella, Harry... Is it Weinstein?
Harvey.
Weinstein. Harvey, rather. Right. He is a mogul, a movie mogul. Mm-hmm. He's probably one of the top three, four, five most powerful men in the entertainment industry. Well, a few days ago, he was, has it been a week now? An expose came out on him in the New York Times. The New York Times, and this fella has evidently been a lifelong serial woman abuser, anywhere from groping and physical abuse to charges of rape. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this guy evidently was a monster. Well, it was a dirty, I don't know if it's a dirty little secret. It was an open secret, I guess, in Hollywood. The circles he ran in, he gave a lot of money to the Democratic Party. He's a personal friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama. I mean, they were tight. New York socialites, all of them. And so now, you know, the liberal Hollywood world has been rocked by this, because now they're fighting with one another, in the sense that the women, the actresses and so forth, who are coming forward now, one after another, day after day after day, making accusations against Harvey mm-hmm. Weinstein, and that then some other males are being caught up in this, you know, as people having done similar things. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck's, you know, he's under.
He's apologizing.
And nobody said that I've done anything close to what this guy's done, but it is being, Ray, Hollywood's eating its own, is right. What I'm trying to say here.
Well, they covered up for this. Yeah. It's totally clear that people knew, and it was common knowledge. I mean, it's come out, mm-hmm. overwhelmingly come out this week. They knew what Harvey Weinstein was doing, but he was rich, he was powerful, he was well-connected. He had enablers who covered up for him, made excuses for him. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly the dam broke, and we're finding out, not just he's a bad guy, but thoroughly corrupt. Yeah.
This is Bill Cosby. This is a Bill Cosby type story.
Right. You wonder how many of these people were critical of Donald Trump last October.
Oh, Hollywood and the liberals, they went after, remember, after that... what was that name of that show that released that tape of President Trump? Then
Access Hollywood?
Access
that
Hollywood?
Was NBC.
Was that NBC?
It was a Billy Bush product.
NBC, yeah. The same company who squashed the Weinstein mm-hmm. story reportedly a year or two ago.
Right. And what happened is President Trump made those comments in that video 10 years ago, and they were terrible comments. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was talking about, but President Trump said it was locker room talk, and I think it was before President Trump cleaned up his life, so to speak. Right. I don't know how else to phrase that. I think he was a different person than he was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he regrets having done that. He called it locker room talk. But there was no proof that he's ever physically done things to women. And that certainly would have come out like this in any kind of way like this guy has. Mm-hmm. But that being said, yeah, Hollywood jumped all over this. This is a misogynist. This is a sexist, yeah. This is a pig talking about President Trump. Well, where are they now that they're on? I think what Ray's saying, well, some of them are saying these kinds of things, but it's kind of like what Ray's saying. Where were they when they knew and known about this guy for years and years and years?
And Hillary's taken a lot of flack the last few days for being silent for as long as she was. And then the statement that came out, it was reported that it actually came out from her spokesperson, not necessarily from the former First Lady herself. There is a story on Fox today. She says that she's going to give Harvey Weinstein donations to charity.
The money he gave to her campaign?
Yes. She's going to basically give that amount back. She's going to donate it to charity. I don't have the entire article here. I'm not sure what charity she's going to donate to.
Well, the other thing is NBC spiked a story on this. That's what's mm-hmm. being charged. Right? Did you see that?
Yeah, and are we surprised? They take care of their own, right? Mm-hmm. They covered for him until it was impossible to do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, this is...
it's an ugly story.
Yeah, this is...
You know, I'll say this, though. If you watch the movies that come out of Hollywood...
Right.
And that he's produced and others have produced in Hollywood, why are we surprised that this is how they act in private?
Sex, violence...
Drugs...
Profanity,
right?
A lot of it. This is their world. This is how they live. This is how they talk to one another. And it's a tragic mm-hmm. when you could do so much good for humanity and you end up doing so much bad with your business, your entertainment business. But evidently, this guy's going to jail for a long, long time. We'll be back in 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.